together. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us all to be attentive. Lord, help me to say the things you would have me to say, to preach the things that you would like me to preach, Father, and that we would all leave here and be better people, better Christians, better husbands and wives and children because of what we've heard today. I hope you would help everyone, Lord. I pray you would help everyone to just grab a hold of this truth, including especially, Lord, myself. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 12. And I'd like to preach this morning on a subject that I believe is lacking in our nation. I honestly believe that today in our country we have a famine of what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. And I believe that all of us struggle with it. I believe that all of us could be better at it. And I believe that if you honestly consider what is taught today from the Scripture, and you get a hold of it, and you apply it to your life, I really believe this, it will revolutionize your life. And I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. I mean, if I stood here and I said that I could teach you the secret to success, the secret to wealth, the secret to health, the secret to living a satisfied life, you know, just call in, $9.99, you know. I mean, you'd probably say, man, I'm really interested. I'm really interested. What is that? What could be that one thing that could allow me to fulfill my life and live a satisfied life? And we're there in Proverbs chapter number 12, but I'd like you to turn back a couple pages to Proverbs chapter number 10. And I want you to be attentive this morning, because I'd like to preach to you on the subject of really one word. And that word is this: diligence. Diligence. You say, Pastor, that's not going to change my life. Diligence, if you get a hold of this word, I'm telling you, it'll revolutionize your life. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 10. I'd like you to look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Do you see that? Let me read that verse again. This is the Word of God, by the way. This isn't, you know, get rich quick scheme or something like that. The Bible says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Now, before we really get into the sermon this morning, we've got to define, what does the word diligent mean? What exactly does that word diligent entail, or what does it mean? The word diligent means this. Diligent means to have energy, to have energy to accomplish a task. Diligence means there's really the easiest way to describe it is like this: to work hard. You look up the opposite of diligence is this: laziness. And the Bible says, and I want to go through and just kind of explain to you and show you from the Bible what the Bible teaches about diligence versus what the Bible teaches about laziness. And point number one is this: the diligent are financially successful. The diligent are financially successful. Look at the last part of verse number 4 there in Proverbs 10. It says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." But look what it said. But the hand of the diligent, I want you to notice the next word, maketh. Maketh rich. The Bible says the hand of the diligent, the hand of the hardworking person, the hand of the person who works hard, who is diligent, it says maketh rich. You say, how can I become rich? And look, you understand the Bible in its context. We understand that the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. If your goal in life is to be rich and to be a millionaire, you're going to ruin your life. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that you can be successful, financially successful, if you'll get a hold of this one word, diligent. Get a hold of this idea, working hard. The Bible says, you know, the Bible is teaching us that. You say, how can I become rich? Here's how you become rich: the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I heard a statistic recently that said 8 out of 10 millionaires in the United States of America are first generation millionaires. You say, what does that mean? That means this: 8 out of 10 millionaires in the United States of America were not born millionaires. Now, 2 out of 10 are, you know, we're just born into money. But you know what that tells me? Most millionaires in this country were born like you and I, poor, average. And they became rich because of this one word, diligent. There's a famous millionaire in the Christian realm, fundamental Baptist realm. His name is Russell Anderson. And Russell Anderson, he's a fundamental Baptist, King James, you know, good man as far as I know. He's a real good man, real good Christian, and he's a multi-millionaire. And he spent his life in taking his riches and really investing them in the cause of Christ. He's helped build a lot of churches and fund a lot of missionaries and done all sorts of things. And one time, I heard a story where somebody said to him, Brother Anderson, Brother Russell Anderson, you know, you can support all these missionaries, you can support all these church plans, you can support all these men, you know, and you give so much to the cause of Christ. And they said, you must be a real lucky guy, you know, to just have all that money. And you know, this is what he responded. He said, you know what, I am very lucky. And you know what I found? The harder I work, the luckier I get. And that's the truth. You know, people aren't just rich because, well, they're just lucky. They're just smart. No, you know, the average millionaire, and again, I'm not saying your goal ought to be a millionaire, but I'm trying to explain something to you. You know, the average millionaire in America does not work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, clock in, clock out. It's just not the truth. The average person who's successfully wealthy in our country works 14, 15, 16 hours a day. Now, look, I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm telling you this. The Bible says that the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You say, what's the secret to financial success? Here's what it is. Hard work. Hard work. Not only that, but look at verse number 4 again. It doesn't just tell us how to become rich, it tells us how to become poor. Look what it says. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Hey, what does that word slack mean? The word slack means slow. It means sluggish. It means moving slowly. And the Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. You say, how can I become poor? Here's how you become poor. Have a slack hand. Have a slow hand. Have a sluggish hand. Here's what the Bible's trying to tell us. Be lazy. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The Bible tells you, you know, go with me real quick. I want you to keep your finger there in Proverbs chapter number 10. And go with me to Genesis chapter number 31. Because I'd like to show you something. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 10. But go with me to Genesis chapter number 31. And look, I believe my job as a pastor is to teach lessons and preach sermons that are going to help you in your life. And I believe there's some just common sense things in the Bible that we haven't been taught. The public school has failed our society. The television and the government has failed our society. And the one thing we haven't taught our young people is to get up in the morning, to work hard, to do right. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 31. I want you to look at verse number 40. Now, we don't have time to go through the entire text here. You can read it on your own if you'd like. But in Proverbs 31, we find Jacob. In Genesis 31. Brother Vincent wrote my sermon, so he knows where I'm supposed to answer. Genesis chapter number 31, verse 40. Genesis 31, 40. And in Genesis 31, 40, we find the story of Jacob. Now, Jacob was son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Now, if you remember, Abraham was a very rich man. And Isaac was a very rich man. But Jacob, because of his sin, had to run away from home, and he was a very poor man. But in Jacob's lifetime, he became a very wealthy man. Not because of inheritance, but just because of his own business that he did. And in Genesis 31, chapter number 31, verse 40, Jacob explains to us how he became wealthy. How he became rich. And look what he says, Genesis 31, 40. He says, thus I was. He says, here's my secret to success. He says, thus I was. In the day, the drought consumed me, and in the frost, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. You know what Jacob was saying? He was saying this. Here's how I became wealthy. I worked hard. He said, in the day, I was thirsty, and the drought, it consumed me. And the frost by night. He said, at night, it was cold. He said, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. I don't want you to miss the last part of that verse, because that's really a key to laziness. He said, I worked all day, the drought consumed me. He said, I worked all night, the frost by night. And he said, my sleep departed from mine eyes. You know that phrase? He said, I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't. And let me explain something to you. Go back to Proverbs. And I'd like you to go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. The Bible tells us that you can become rich by having a diligent hand. The Bible tells us you can become poor by having a slack hand. But I'd like you to understand something. And let me tell you something. We all struggle with laziness. Every one of us can be lazy if we choose. But I need you to understand something about laziness. Lazy people, and I don't know how to say this without sounding rude, and I'm not trying to be rude, but you need to understand something. Lazy people sleep too much. I don't know how else to say it. Lazy people sleep too much. Go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Look at verse number 30. And this is Bible. You know, look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter number 24. Look at verse number 30. Solomon, who's the wisest man who ever lived, begins to tell us a story in Proverbs chapter number 30. And look in Proverbs 24, verse 30. And he says, I went by the field of the slothful. Now the slothful, the Bible doesn't use the word lazy. It uses words like this. Slack. Slack hand. It uses the word like slugger. It uses the word like slothful. The word slothful means slow moving. It means laziness. Who's ever heard of a sloth? Like there's an animal called a sloth? You know, you study the sloth. The sloth sleeps 15 to 20 hours a day. And the Bible says, I went by the field. This is how God is describing a lazy person. He says, they're like a sloth. They're slothful. And he says, in verse 31, I want you to notice, Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So he said, I was walking on the street, and I saw this property. And it belonged to a slothful man, a lazy man. And he had a vineyard. Look at verse 32. Then I saw, verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. He said, I was walking down this field, I was walking by this property, and I looked at it, and he said it was just in bad condition. He said, it was grown over with thorns. He said, no one had taken care of the yard. He said, the nettles had covered the face thereof. He said, the stone wall thereof was broken. He said, the wall was broken down. No one had fixed it. It just gotten decrepit. No one had worked on it. Who's ever driven down the street and seen a house like this? Think, man, that house just needs some work. That's a fixer-upper. You know, no one's been doing work on that thing. And this was Solomon. He said, I went by the field, you know, and I saw this property. Look at verse 32. He said, and as I looked at this place, then I saw and considered it well. He said, I sat down to think about it. He said, I considered this property and how it looks and how it's been taken care of. He said, I considered it well. I looked upon it, and he said, and received instruction. He said, I learned from this. He said, what did I learn? He said, here's what I learned. Verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Do you see that? He said, I walked down this property, I saw it was all decrepit, it was taken over, the thorns had got over, the wall was broken, and no one had taken care of it. And I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, what's wrong with this property? This is a great property, you know, why is it not like this? And he said, when I thought to think about it, and I stopped to consider, I realized that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, look at verse 34, this is all in its context, so shall thy poverty, the word poverty is talking about being poor, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible said, he said, I saw this property, it was decrepit, it wasn't taken care of, it had been left alone, and he said, I realized that the reason it looked so bad is because the person, the slothful man who owned it, slept a lot. He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to thee, and then he said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. He said, you want to be poor? Sleep a lot. You want to be poor? Be lazy. Sleep a lot. Look at Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. And look, the only reason I preach sermons like this is because I'm trying to help. I want us to be helped. I want me to be helped. Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 6, 9. Are you surprised how much the Bible talks about this? Proverbs 6, 9 says this. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? You see how it describes the lazy man as a sluggard? The word sluggard comes from this, a slug. You know, notice how God likes to like represent like animals with people? Who wants to be, you know, who want, you know, at a job sometimes, you know how they'll do like a 90-day review and they'll give you a little paper, you know. When I was in the military, they called it a, what they called it, that's the Army. When I was in the Air Force, they called it, I want to say they called it an EPA, I can't remember. But there was a certain name where once a year they met with you and they told you, you know, who would love to get their little review from their manager, and they described it, they said, here's how I describe this person, a slug. That's not a good thing. A slug is slow. A slug is bad. A sloth is lazy. You know what I'm saying? But look at what it says. Proverbs chapter number 6, look at verse 9. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Notice how God consistently associates sleeping a lot. Verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible very clearly and very often connects these two thoughts. Sleep a lot, you're going to be in poverty. Sleep a lot, you're going to be poor. Sleep a lot, you're going to not have money. Be diligent and you'll make yourself rich. That's what the Bible says. Now look, I understand. This is not what school teaches today. This is not what society teaches today. But that's what the Bible teaches. Go with me real quickly to Proverbs chapter number 26. Look at verse number 14. Proverbs chapter number 26. Look at verse number 14. Proverbs 26, 14. This is a very interesting verse. Proverbs 26, 14. Look what it says. It says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Do you see that? Okay, what is that talking about? As the door turneth upon his hinges. What is that talking about? It's giving us the analogy of a door. You have a door, it's on hinges, the door turns. You open it, you close it. You open it, you close it. It turns back and forth. He says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The Bible is telling us here that the slothful man, the lazy person, will lay down in bed and they'll just turn all night long. I can't get comfortable. I can't sleep. I'm up all night, I can't sleep. Look, let me explain something to you. If you roll out of bed at 9:30 in the morning, take a mid-afternoon nap, and fall asleep on the couch at 8 p.m., and then try to go to bed at 10, yeah, you're not going to be able to sleep. You've been sleeping all day. You understand what I'm saying? The lazy person cannot sleep at night because they've been sleeping all day long. So you go to bed and you're like, I can't sleep, I'm so tired. And the Bible says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth a slothful man upon his bed. Let me show you something very interesting. Go with me to Ecclesiastes. You're there in Proverbs. The very next book, right after Proverbs, is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Compare that to this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, I want you to see this. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the Bible says, the sleep of a laboring man. What's the word labor mean? Ask a woman who's given birth before. They'll tell you what labor means. It means work. You ever heard of a laborer? You know, I'm going to hire a laborer, a manual laborer. It's talking about it's work. The Bible says, the sleep of a laboring man is what? Sweet. You see that? Whether he eat a little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You know that if you get up, work all day, work hard, when you go to bed, you have no problem going to sleep. So I'm all insomnia. Okay, and I understand there's medical issues. Like I get that. But by and large, you get up early in the morning, work all day, you know, stay busy, go to bed at night, you'll fall asleep like a baby. The sleep of a laboring man is sleep. But people who say, I can't sleep all night long, I just stay up all night long, it's because you do nothing all day. It's because you're on the couch all day. You're taking naps all day. You know, my wife is pregnant right now, and her lower back hurts her a lot. And at night, when we're going to bed, you know, we'll be laying in bed, you know, lights off and everything, and I'll attempt to rub her lower back to make her help her feel better. But often she'll have to wake me up because I'm sleeping. And you say, well, what, are you lazy? No, you know, you get up at 5 in the morning, work a 14-hour day, you know, come home, spend time with your family, and, you know, I'm lucky if I don't fall asleep as I'm laying down. I mean, I have no problem going to sleep at night. I can literally, you know, go outside on the sidewalk, lay down, and go to sleep. Why? Because I'm tired, because I've been working, because I've been up since 5 in the morning, because I've been reading my Bible and studying and writing sermons. I've been TV, and they're like, and then here's the funny thing. Then they go and get on drugs, so I need medication to sleep on. No, you need to just get up in the morning and work. You know, and look, if you're retired or you're, you know, got some money, you know, just because you don't have a job doesn't mean you can't work. You understand that? Just because you don't have a job that you go to doesn't mean you can't get up and accomplish something and be productive and work and be diligent and get the Bible say, what's the secret to success? Work hard. What's the secret to health? Work hard. What's the secret to happiness? Work hard. Be diligent. If you get a hold of that, it'll change your life. Now look, I didn't say that was easy. But if you get a hold of that, it'll change your life. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at verse number 24. Proverbs 12:24. Proverbs 12:24. If you ever have trouble sleeping, get up and do something. You get up and run 3 miles, I promise you, you have no trouble going to sleep. You say, I can't sleep. I'm just going to get up and clean. Clean. You'll have no trouble going to sleep. Get up and read 9 chapters a day. You'll have no trouble going to sleep. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at verse number 24. Proverbs 12:24. Look what it says. Not only is the diligent man financially successful, the diligent man is put in charge. Proverbs 12. Look at verse 24. It says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Do you see that? The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The Bible says that a diligent person will bear rule. You say, I want to be the boss. I want to be the manager. I want to be in charge. Work hard. You'll do it. Work hard. You'll get it. You'll get that position. Say, well, you understand my job. They're all family. Look, let me tell you something. Anyone who works hard can rule. Period. That's how your boss did it. Because he started a business. He worked 14, 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, worked hard, you know, and he built a business, became successful. The Bible says that the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. But, look what it says. I love how the Bible always gives us something to compare with. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So what does the word tribute mean? The word tribute means, a tribute is like a tax you pay. It's a payment you make when you're subject under someone. So a tribute, you have an authority over you and you have to pay them. Oftentimes, like the Roman Empire would take over a nation and then that nation would be subjects. They would be pretty much their servants. So they have to pay tribute to that nation. The Bible says that the diligent man will bear rule, but the slothful man will always be a servant. Will always be a subject. Will always be, you know, you go to job sites and there'll be people there, and it's like they started like 5 years ago making minimum wage, and today they're still doing that. And it's like these other people come in and they just go up the ladder and they're successful. You say, now look, I understand every once in a while there's problems there, and there's, you know, we get that. But by and large in America, you know that you can work hard and bear rule. You know that you can work hard and be a leader. You know that you can work hard, and it's in the Bible. Let me give you a couple of examples. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery to Potiphar's house. And when he was in slavery, he was a slave, literally. And while he was there, Potiphar identified him because why? Because he worked hard. The Bible says everything that he touched prospered. He was a hardworking guy. And then Potiphar said, I'm going to make him. And the Bible says that Potiphar made him the second, you know, authority figure in his house. The only person that was more powerful in the house of Potiphar, which was the captain of the army of Israel, he was like a real high-up general. And the only person that was more powerful than Potiphar in his house was Joseph, who was a slave. Why? Because he was diligent. And then the same Joseph was lied about, thrown into prison. And he's in prison. I mean, can you get a little more subject than that? You're confined, not by your own choice. And yet the Bible tells us, because of his hard work, the prison guard noticed him and made him in charge of the prison. So while in prison, his diligence allowed him to bear rule. And then what happened? Then you remember Pharaoh found him. And they found him because of his diligence. Because of his work ethic, and made him the second most powerful man in Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And you know, everywhere Joseph went, he was just put in places of authority. Everywhere Joseph went, he was just brought up the ladder. Everywhere Joseph went, they said, we're gonna put you in charge. Why? Because he was a hardworking man. Not only that, do you remember the story of Daniel? Daniel was a diligent person. Daniel, you know, you read the story of Daniel and you think that the whole time he's just working under one king. But you know that Daniel worked under four different kings? Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And some of those were kings who took over the nation and killed the other kings. And here's the amazing part. Daniel was a slave brought into Babylon, and he was noticed by Nebuchadnezzar because of his diligence, because of his work ethic. And he was brought up. Then his son, Belshazzar, who hated God and hated the things of God, but when he was in a jam because of God's judgment, they brought who? Daniel. Because of his diligence. Because of his work ethic. And Daniel was able to... And then, when Darius killed Belshazzar and took over the nation, you know how normally, you know, look at politics. You know how normally there's an uproar in the government? What do they normally do with the sitting cabinet? They get rid of them, right? You know, if there's a president and he's got his workers, and then someone takes over that nation, they get rid of them, they kill those guys. But what happened to Daniel? Darius came in, took over, but he kept Daniel in charge. Why? Because of his diligence. And then there was King Cyrus who did the same thing. And when people were attacking Daniel, remember they had him thrown into the lion's den? The king didn't want Daniel thrown into the lion's den. He was trying to defend. Why? He was a Jew. He was brought in as a slave. He wasn't even from the nation. He wasn't even from there. He hadn't been educated there, but why? What made Daniel stand out? One word. Diligence. Diligence. If you get a hold of this word, it'll change your life. I promise you. If you get a hold of this word, it'll change your life. You'll be put in charge. You'll be the boss. You say, well, I'll never be the boss of my job. Then you go start a job. A business. You work hard. Look, starting a business is not easy. Do it. But it'll take diligence. The Bible says that the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful is always going to be told what to do. Because see, the slothful man can't be trusted. The lazy person can't be trusted. See, you know how you get to rule? You get to be the manager, you get to be the boss? Is when they know that it's going to get done whether they're there or not. But when you're the lazy guy who's your work hard and the boss is watching, but when he's not watching, you're taking extra pay, you're taking your, you know, I used to hate it in the military. You know, we work 12-hour days and we have like two breaks, but then all these smokers get like 17 other breaks. So every 5 minutes, they got to take their smoking break. You know, it's like, I don't smoke. Why don't I get 17 extra breaks? You know, work hard. Be diligent. You'll prosper. Not only that. We said number one, the diligent are financially successful. Number two, the diligent are put in charge. Number three, go with me to Proverbs. You're there in Proverbs 12, look at verse 24. Proverbs 12, 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I'm sorry, that's the one we already read. Look at verse 27. Proverbs 12, 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. You say, what is that talking about? Well, we said number one, the diligent are financially successful. Number two, the diligent are put in charge. Number three, the diligent are not wasteful. The diligent are not wasteful. Look at the verse, Proverbs 12, 27. The slothful man, that's the lazy man, roasted not that which he took in hunting. Say, what is that talking about? The idea there is this. A man went out and was hunting, and he caught an animal. He killed the animal. He hunted it, but then he didn't cook the meat and didn't eat it. That's a waste. That's a waste of good food. And the Bible says, the slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting. So he hunted an animal, but he didn't roast it. He didn't cook it. He didn't eat it. But then look at the contrast. The slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Do you see that? Bible says the substance of a diligent man is precious. You notice that people who work hard and earn money are not wasteful? You know, think about in your own home. Think about when you were a kid. Or even in your home now. Who's the one who's always walking around saying, why is this light on? No one's in this room. Turn that light off. Why, you know, close that front door. We're not trying to air condition the whole house. You know, the kids don't care. They keep the lights on. They keep the radio on. They keep the computer on. They open up all the doors, run the air conditioner. Why? Because they don't work. Because they're not earning the money. They're not going. But dad has to get up at 5 in the morning and work all day. Hey, that's wasting money. Lazy people are wasteful. Slothful people are wasteful. You ever gave some gift to someone and they didn't appreciate it? You just threw it away or gave, you know, whatever. And what's the problem there? They didn't understand the value of it. See, that's the problem with giving things to your children. Like, give them something on their birthday and give them, you know, but, you know, make your kids work. You know, don't let your kids, you know, don't let your, and here's what you understand. This is character that we're talking about, and it's developed at a young age. Don't let your kids sleep in until 9 in the morning. Good night. God help us if you let your kids just sleep all day. Are you trying to make them poor? Are you trying to make them unsuccessful? Are you trying to make them the loser? You know, the one that everybody's got to pick up? You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to hate it when my dad had the day off because I knew if my dad was up, that meant we were up. And my dad was the type of guy, on his day off, we just worked all day. You know, he had a day off from work, but we had to, you know, there's always something to fix, something to do, a lawn to mow, something. And if there was nothing to do around our house, there's always something to do at church. And I mean, my dad was just a hardworking guy. And he made us get up early, go to bed early. Benjamin Franklin said, you know, famous quote of his said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man wealthy, healthy, and wise. And that's the truth. Don't let your kids sleep. Well, it's their day off. Make them get up. Make them go to work. Make them clean the house. Make them wash the dishes. Make them do laundry. Make them work. Because here's the thing. You raise kids. Well, they're only 17 years old. They're only 16 years old. They can't be expected to clean the bathroom. Who's going to clean it when they're 21 years old? When they're 22 years old? Then they're going to walk around with their hand out, just wanting everybody to take care of them, and wanting, you know, well, people got to get beat. You know, I can't work. No, put them to work. Teach them to work. Make them get up early. Give them chores. Teach them character and diligence.
Amen.
You say, I want my kids to be successful. Don't let them be lazy. Don't let them be lazy. Laziness will destroy their life. Laziness, you're just assuring that they'll be poor. Say, I can't give my kids financial inheritance. Then give them a work ethic. Then give them, you know, character. Make them get up early. Don't let them sleep in and sleep all day. You know, I can't stand watching kids. You're just all day sleeping. It's like, you're good night. You're 13 years old. You gotta have so much energy. You gotta be, you know, these kids are just running around. I'm so tired. What are you tired about? You don't do anything all day. School is not work. I don't know if you know that. You sit down all day and do nothing. You're hanging out with your friends, and that's what school is. Make your kids work. And while you're at it, make yourself work. And you can't tell your kids, get up early, and then you go back to bed. You fall asleep on the couch. You know, you get up early, you make them get up early. And like, I believe in having a day. The Bible teaches that you should have a day to rest. I get it. That's fine. But diligence. Diligence is the key. The diligence are not wasteful. The slothful man is wasteful. The slothful man roasted that which he took in hunting. Roasted not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. Don't waste. And here's the thing. You know why people waste stuff? Because they don't understand the value of it. They don't understand how long it took. You know, someone will take something and they'll just throw it away, just destroy it. And here's what I always think in my head. I'm like, that cost $23. I have to work, you know, an hour and a half for that. You know what I mean? You take food and just throw it in the trash. I'm not going to eat this. It's like, man, that costs money. You know? Diligence. The diligent are not wasteful. Number four. The diligent get noticed. Look at Proverbs 22. Look at verse 29. Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 29. Proverbs 22 and 29. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 22, 29. Proverbs 22, 29. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 29. The Bible says this. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Look what it says. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. You see that? Say, how can I get noticed? How can I get noticed by my employer? Here's the one word I get you to notice. Diligence. How is it that Joseph, who we already talked about, Daniel, who were everywhere they went, the person in charge noticed them. The person in charge put them in charge. Why was that? One word, diligence. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. You know, I want to be noticed. I want to be noticed by the higher ups. I want to be noticed by the kings. I want to be noticed. Work hard. Work hard. That's the one word. That's the key. I thought it'd be easy. I told you I was going to give you the secret to success. I didn't tell you it was going to be easy. It's hard to work hard. It's hard to get up. Somebody told me this recently. I thought it was pretty funny. And I'm going to have to... They didn't use bad words, but they just used words that I wouldn't use. So I'm going to have to clean it up a little bit. But he said, you know, getting up in the morning is going to stink either way. So you might as well just get up early. And you know that's the truth. If you set your alarm clock for 5 a.m. and you get up at 5 a.m., that's going to stink. And if you hit the snooze button and get up at 5:10, it's still going to stink. So you might as well just get up at 5 in the morning. Nobody likes getting up. You might as well just do it. You know? Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me men. Number 5. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. The Bible says that the diligent are financially successful. The Bible says that the diligent are put in charge. The Bible says that the diligent are not wasteful. The Bible says that the diligent get notice. Number 5. The diligent get what they want out of life. The diligent get what they want out of life. Proverbs chapter number 13. Look at verse number 4. Look at what it says. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth, look what it says, and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You see that? Let's read that again. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. You know what that means? That means this. The lazy person wants something. I want a nicer house. I want a nicer vehicle. I want nicer clothes. Or I want to go here. Or I want to go there. Or I want to do this. But they have nothing. Why? Because of no work ethic. Because of no diligence. The soul of the sluggard desires and that nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, that's not talking about physically there. That's talking about in your life. You'll be satisfied. You'll have substance. The Bible tells us that you know, being fat in regards to your wealth, in regards to what you own, in regards to what you say, how can I get what I want? And look, we understand you ought not live your life chasing materials. That's not a good way to live your life. But you say, I want to be able to provide for my family. Hey, I want to be able to take my wife out to a nice dinner every once in a while. I want to be able to make sure that my wife's driving in a vehicle that works and that is safe and is going to get her from point A to point B and not, you know, just, you know, where it's a hazard for her. I don't want my kids worried about, you know, oh, they're driving and that, you know. I want to be able to provide nice things. I want my kids to look nice for church. I want them to have nice things. So how do you do that? Through diligence. Because the lazy person, they want all sorts of stuff, but they have nothing. I wish I had this, and I wish I had that, and I wish... You get up early and you get it. Get up early, work hard, read your Bible, pray. The Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Not only that, but here's what you got to understand. You say, the lazy person, they want something, but they don't have anything. Here's what you got to understand about the lazy person. The lazy person always has an excuse. Let's look at these verses real quickly. Proverbs chapter number 22. Look at verse number 13. Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 13. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 13. Proverbs 22:13 says this. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. So what is that talking about? Here's what it's saying. A lazy person gets up, and they gotta go to work. Their wife says, go to work. Their kids say, go to work, we're hungry. Their boss calls them, why aren't you at work? And here's what he says, oh, there's a lion in the street. Oh, well, if I get in my car and I drive, I might get in an accident. I might get hurt. If I get up on that roof, I might get hurt. They always have an excuse why they can't do something. The slothful man says, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Look at Proverbs 26:13. Proverbs 26:13. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. Same thing. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. Proverbs 26:14. Proverbs 26:14. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a wrong verse there. Proverbs chapter number
20. Look at verse number 4. Hopefully that's the right one. Proverbs chapter number 20. Look at verse number 4. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Perfect example of the lazy people always have an excuse.
The sluggard will not plow. The word plow is talking about going out in your field, plowing, working. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The lazy person gets up and they got work to do. They got plowing that needs to get done, but it's too cold out there. The sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. Therefore, the word therefore is telling us, because of this, because they will not plow for reason of cold, therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Do you see that? Isn't that interesting?
Say, how do you want to make sure I have food to feed my kids? Don't put up excuses why you can't do something. You know, I heard this before. Excuses are like feet. Everyone's got a couple and they both stink.
And that's the truth. Somebody said this. I can makes a great man. And maybe some of you women, I can makes a great woman. You know, you got to have this attitude. I can do it. What? You know, I can do it. Not, well, I would have done it if it wasn't so cold, or I would have gone if it wasn't for the lion out there, or I would have accomplished this. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can accomplish things. I can get it done. I can make a great man. Hey, don't have an excuse for everything why I couldn't. You know what your boss does not want to hear? Why you couldn't do what he told you to do. You know, if you messed up and you didn't accomplish the task, then just tell him, hey, look, I messed up. I didn't accomplish it. I'll get it done. But don't sit there and tell them, well, the thing is that it was kind of cold. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear your excuses. You know, they get enough of that from their kids at home. They don't need to hear it from you, their employee. You know, don't put up excuses for everything. Why you can't accomplish something. Why you can't do something. Everyone has issues. Everyone's got struggles. Everyone's got problems. Just get it done. Diligence.
Do you want to know why most people in this country are poor and a small majority are rich? Here's why.
Diligence is hard. Especially if you've been brought up to be lazy. And I'm sorry to say, but we've just risen a generation in this country of lazy individuals who do not have the character to get up, who do not have the character to stay up, who do not have the character to go to work. And I'm trying to tell you something. If you would get a hold of this and say, man, maybe you say, Pastor, I struggle with laziness. Hey, we all do. But if you say, I'm going to get a hold of this word diligence. I'm going to get to work. I'm going to do something. You know, it's funny. We were just, and it's this attitude, you know, it's just rampant in our country. We were talking last week. I was telling some of the guys how my dad taught me growing up. You know, it's a perfect example of laziness. My dad taught me growing up, when you're unemployed, your job, if you're trying to get a job, your job is to get a job. Your job is to get a job. You say, oh, that's pretty simple. But here's where he made it practical. Here's what my dad said to me. How many hours do you want to... I was a teenager. You know, I was really ahead in school. So, like, I was going to school my senior year. I went to school one day a week. Because I was just so ahead. They wouldn't let me graduate early because they were a bunch of punks. But they weren't... You know, I went to school one day a week. So I had a lot of hours to work. And here's what my dad said to me. He said, you know, I was looking for a job. And he said, how many hours do you want to work, son? A week. I said, I want to work 40 hours a week. He said, then spend 40 hours a week looking for a job. He said, why would God give you a job that will give you 40 hours a week if you're not spending 40 hours a week to look for a job? And you know what? That makes so much sense. I talk to people today, they're like, I'm looking for a job. And I'm like, oh yeah, how many applications you put in? Well, I put in an application 6 weeks ago. I'm still waiting for them to call me back. You're not going to get a job like that, buddy. That's not how it works. You want to work 8 hours a day? Then work 8 hours a day to find a job. You want to work 20 hours a day? Then do 20 hours a week of looking for it. Whatever you want to work, work that amount of time to get a job. And I promise you, you'll get a job. Promise you. You say, what do you call that? I call that work ethic. I call that diligence. If you're lazy, I'm not, you know, hopefully this isn't coming across mean or rude, but I'm going to tell you something. Laziness will destroy your life. Laziness will destroy you as a husband. It'll destroy you as a wife. It'll destroy you as a mother, as a father. You will not, as an employee, you will not accomplish the things you want to accomplish, but you sure got to sleep a lot. But sleeping doesn't feed the family. Sleeping doesn't take care of things. And diligence is the key to success. One more verse and we're done. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9. Now listen to me. I understand that we all go through struggles and there are times in our lives when we all need help. And look, I've needed help before. We all need help. But diligence is the key to success. And if you'll get a hold of this, if you'll get a hold of this thought and this concept in your life, it'll revolutionize your life. Revelation, I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, look at verse number 10. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." You see that? It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do." He says, whatever you're going to do, do it with thy might. Do it with all your strength. Do it with all your power. Give it the best. Give it the best you got. You know, you don't have to have this half-hearted, you know, I'm in, I'm out, you know. I used to hate when I was young, we played sports. Didn't you hate that guy who was just lazy? You know, the guy who like, you know, we used to play soccer, and the guy, the ball's over there, and he's kind of like, you know, that's not how you want to play. You want to give it, you know, do it with your mind. Do it with your strength. You know, they used to tell us when I played baseball growing up, they're saying, hey, they used to call it, you run that out. You know, and the idea was, you know, you're at the plate, and maybe you hit the ball or something, and you're running to first base. And you know, when you're running to first base, when your foot hits that base, you're safe. And you can continue running, and as long as you run out, they can't like, oh, you're, you know, grabbing with the ball here. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about, baseball, you know? So you can hit the ball and keep running, because they understood this. You're running so fast, you can't just like stop there. You know, you gotta run it up. But here's the thing. There'd be guys who would hit the ball, and they stopped running, and then the person got the ball, and they threw it to first base, and they were out maybe halfway before they got there, and they just stopped and go back to the bench. You know, I thank God I had coaches who said, you know what, you run that out. It doesn't matter if you're out. It doesn't matter if they already caught it, and you're not, you know, you finish it. You go. You shouldn't even be looking to see whether you're safe or not. You gotta be focused and running so hard that you hit that, and then they tell you whether you're safe or not. And that, you know, that ought to be your life. You know, we just so quickly, I'm just going to give up. I can't do it. I already got 3 days behind on 9 chapters today. I'm just going to give it up. That's the truth. Run that thing out. Finish that thing. Get diligence and get started. And you say, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to get time for it. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to go to bed late. I'm going to teach my kids to work hard. Hey, be diligent. You'll be successful. You'll be satisfied.
Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might.
You get a hold of that, it'll revolutionize your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father,
Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to be diligent, including and especially me. Father, we all deal with laziness. We all struggle with laziness. It's something that's just our flesh, our sin nature. But Lord, I just truly believe that diligence will help people. Diligence will revolutionize their life. Help us to be a church of people who are hard workers. Whatever task we're given, whatever opportunity we're given, that we'll just work at it. That we'll work hard. That the kids will work hard with their school. Not just be satisfied to pass, but to be the best. Nebuchadnezzar said of Daniel, he's 10 times better than the rest. Lord, I pray, you say, how do you get 10 times better? Diligence. Father, I pray you'd help us. Help our people, Lord. Help us to be a hard-working people. We love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen.